clouds in the sky. Beautiful temperature to get projects done around the house in the great state of Arizona. Listening to CCR. There's only one place you can get all that done, and that's right here at my house, Rosie on the House. Every Arizona homeowner's happy place. Welcome. Wrapping up the last half hour of today's broadcast, we're in with experts, bug experts, Nate and Curtis from Blue Sky Pest Control. Now, Joey had called in from Levine with a tick problem that he was trying to battle on the dog. What's his next step?
Yeah, it sounds like he was just treating the dog, which is obviously an important step in the process, but you got to get out and treat in the yard effectively to, you know, reduce where the source of them. And that, if you're doing the dual process, that's going to greatly help your situation. Now, you got to remember, please follow the label, use it correctly, don't use the products, the incorrect products, and make sure you follow the label.
Yeah, I mean, you're dealing with poison here.
Uh-huh.
So, all right. He said last spring was bad. My gut, and I'm no bug expert, but my gut tells me this spring is going to absolutely be horrible. I was at someone's home last night, and I was sitting in a chair, and they said, Rosie, would you get up and just step on that? And behind my chair was about an inch and a half, 2-inch scorpion. It was dead. It was dead. But we didn't know that at the time.
Before or after your foot?
Before. It was already dead. Already
like,
dead.
Wait, we could hire Rosie. She had exterminated.
Yeah,
her.
Yeah. Just a good pair of boots.
Scorpion was the tipping point in us getting a
professional care.
Blue Sky signed up on regular. And it was in the bedroom next to the baby crib. And it was just
that
like,
did it.
You know,
that did it.
Up until that point, it was just like, whatever, here, there. But
you had to do something.
But this spring, is it? Am I wrong?
It's been really, really busy, Rosie. And as it continues to warm up, we've kind of had...
We had no winter.
Yeah, so we had a ton of rain. We had a mild winter. And then even like right now when it's been this additional rain, and it's been a little bit cooler, but once this starts to heat up even more, you know, it's going to turn a busy situation even to an even busier situation for us.
So. Yeah. So, what? And again, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, what would be that number?
It's 480-635-8492. And we do have a special running until noon today for people who want to take advantage of that.
Okay. Y'all deal with bees. Let's talk about bees.
Yeah.
Well, you come across, we've had bees swarm up at our home on a couple times over the last 20 years we've been in the house. I've handled it smart once or twice. I've handled it very stupid once or twice. We won't go into that right now. But bees swarming. Talk a little bit about how they decide where they're going to, how they decide that tree or that cornice or that eave is where they want to build their hive.
Yeah, we have a lot of bees here in Arizona. And sometimes people, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the news and they're hearing that there's a shortage of bees. That is not true with wild
Seriously?
Bees at all. No, not at all. I mean, you talk to experts down at the University of Arizona. They have one of the top bee schools in the nation.
Yeah.
The Carl Hayden Bee Institute at the University of Arizona. And over the last 5 to 10 years, the population of wild bees here in Arizona has tripled or even more.
Wow.
So, and most bees, because Africanized honeybees were introduced in Arizona back in the early 90s. Yeah. 1993 was the first one in the southeast Arizona.
And that was another one you were talking about, how the sensationalization of bedbugs went away. I remember being a kid thinking African guys' bees were going to kill us all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you listen to the news.
You see it on the news. Yeah. And they're, you know, they show like they're chasing peel down the road. Now, if a hive is disturbed, they will chase you. So that is true. But the myths are people think that it's a much bigger bee that has a much stronger poison. That's not true. Technically, they're actually a smidge smaller than a regular honeybee.
Okay.
They're How big's a smidge?
I mean, you can't tell with the naked eye.
Okay.
So you actually have to look under, you know, really, really strong, you know, professional equipment to be able to tell, because you have to measure the wing to actually tell the difference. So you're not going to be able to do it by the naked eye. So they're very prevalent here, though. And the one thing about, because over 95% of feral bees here in Arizona are when I say feral bees, I mean feral honeybees, because you have other bee species too, like bumblebees, and they're all beneficial insects. And we don't mess with those because those are pollinating, and we leave those alone, and those are very positive. But with Africanized honeybees, because over 95% are Africanized, they are very aggressive. And so you want to be careful and you want to take precautions. And the one thing about it is what you were referring to earlier, Rosie, is one thing that makes them different than European honeybees is they're not as picky on where they nest. They'll use much smaller little hollow cavities, whereas European honeybees are a lot more picky on where they'll nest. And so because of that, there's a lot more places in your yard or on your home in a hollow part of your eave that they'll actually use to create a nest. So that's one thing that makes them a lot more prevalent close to humans. And because they're more aggressive, that's not a very good combination.
And Africanized bees are very beneficial. They pollinate, so they're good. So what we're worried about with Africanized bees is when they're getting close to humans, where there's a tendency sometimes to inadvertently or even purposefully startle the hive, and then all of a sudden you get this attacking, you know, instance where we've had deaths here in Arizona from attacks from Africanized bees. So people just need to be aware that when they do see a beehive, and if it's most likely going to be a wild beehive, which is going to be an Africanized bee, where you want to be very cautious when you're around them.
If I accidentally stumble across one, and from what I understand, it's just the amount of stings that ultimately the body can't handle.
That's correct.
I'm out in the desert walking around, accidentally stumble into one and aggravate it. Run. Stand still and be calm.
No, run. Because they can only fly about you know, 10 miles an hour, and you can usually outrun them if you're a healthy adult.
Okay.
And if you kind of go in a mild zigzag motion, it's going to be harder for them to keep up to you. And try to, without blocking your vision, try to cover your face some and just keep running.
And do you scream at the same time?
And don't be flailing your arms. The motion's going to attract more of them.
Okay.
So just get out of there if they're attacking you. If they're not attacking you, just move away slowly and stay calm.
Now, they can only fly 10 miles an hour, but how long can they keep that pace?
they can chase you up to a half a mile to a mile.
Okay.
So you got to keep going. And don't think you're going to climb up in a tree and get away from them. Don't jump in water because they'll wait for you or they'll get you. So you got to get
the
in.
Whole time you're running out of breath, they're just hovering, waiting for you to come up.
Correct.
As soon as you come up, they're...
Yep.
And that's a good point about the
water. If you had like a big, thick blanket or something, if you could wrap up into that thoroughly, you know, without any gaps in it, then you're going to protect yourself. So, you know, there's, you know, if you were stuck and couldn't get away, that was something you could do. But you got to get into like a house, a car, something enclosed, and don't worry if like one or two get in with you. Because, for example, there was a person.
Live with that.
Yes.
Right? Live with
that. There was a person who was wearing a bee suit in Texas a few years ago, and one or two got into his bee suit through a little gap in his bee suit. And he flipped
panicked,
out,
yeah.
He panicked, and he ripped his bee suit off, and he died because of it, because he got stung then hundreds of times.
Ah.
One or two stings isn't going to hurt you.
And where people get into trouble here sometimes is when they're hiking up in the mountains. So Squaw Peak, or and then all of a sudden there's a beehive that they're not aware of, where what Curtis is saying is spot on. It's just be mindful that when you're on hiking a trail, you know, you're going to have to be mindful to get out of the way quickly and to kind of know, okay, where do I need to go? Going downhill is probably preferable than going up.
Well, in that case, you really don't have to outrun the bees. You just have to outrun the other people on the trail.
That's right, Rosie.
And this brings up a really good point, though. Because people panic a lot of times with Africanized honeybees, a lot of times where the danger is they trip and fall and hurt themselves severely, or fall off a cliff, or run out into a road and get hit by a car. So you want to get away quickly, but you got to do it safely too. So those are two important principles.
Now, I know this all sounds kind of scary, but it would be pretty hard to stumble into a hive. You usually have some telltale signs of the bees around.
It happens pretty regularly.
Ask your mom about that.
It happens pretty regularly.
But in walking through the desert, Nate, to your point, many times, I would say no less than 12 times. And I do a lot of hiking in the desert, I've come to where I can recognize the sound now. It sounds almost like a jet on the horizon, and it is a swarm, a huge cloud that just go right past you. I mean, and you just kind of stop and you hold your breath and you think, man, if there were anything on me that looked appealing that would tempt them to start trying to build a hive on me.
To pollinate you?
Yeah, to pollinate me. I mean, it's just huge black clouds. It sounds like a little a far-off jet moving through the sky.
And this is an important differentiation, actually, because what you're talking about when they're swarming, they've a big chunk of the hive has left to go find a new to replicate their species.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're swarming like that, 10 to 20,000 of them are going off to find a new nesting site. That's their main focus. So they're not as likely to actually mess with you.
Thank goodness.
They're not as necessarily dangerous. Now, if you mess with them a bunch, they could, but they're not nearly as aggressive in a swarm site.
Okay.
What we're talking about is their hive.
The hive.
And a lot of times it's a small little hole in the ground or in a hollow part of a tree or, in a siding of your house.
It's not always a big honeycomb hanging
in. No, you don't see it. Very rarely is a honeycomb out in the open. It can be, but very rarely is it. And so they're coming and going, but they might be coming and going, 5-10 at a time, coming mm-hmm. and going, and you barely even see it. Well, they will defend their colony up to 50 to 100 feet, and even further if something irritates them, where you could be 50 feet away from it or 100 feet and not even realize one's close by, it's totally hidden, and they'll attack. And then all of a sudden, when they attack, they send out a little pheromone that tells the other guys to come in. And what makes them particularly dangerous is they attack in much, much larger numbers and in multiple waves.
The Africanized.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've talked bed bugs, we've talked ticks, we've talked bees. Let's talk about every other person's favorite bug, scorpions. What?
We deal with them all day, every day.
Can you scorpion-proof a house?
There's a lot of things that you can do. I mean, one of the things that, so you're going to do it in multiple steps. You can try to prevent them from getting into the inside of the home by making sure that weather stripping is not worn or has holes in them. Then you're also looking around your home to say, what is their natural habitat? Where are places that they're going to be more commonly, you're going to find them? And so, if you have a pile of bricks on the side of your home, if you have a pile of wood on the side of your home, if you overwater, you have leaf litter that's going to be conducive to other types of pests. Taking care of all of that type of stuff as well is going to reduce their common harborage area.
All right. So cleaning up is step one against the battle of scorpions. We're going to talk more about scorpions when we get back with the good folks, Nate and Curtis from Blue Sky Pest Control. And any question you might have on bugs as well, like Mark calling from Vail, wants to know what's the green iridescent beetles that are eating his crops. More when we get back.